Hey guys, it's Lauren Cottrell here with JD, and we are back for another week of Believe in TCU Football. Did you guys miss us at the end of last week? I know we weren't here for our preview of the West Virginia versus TCU game, but we are back to recap that game. TCU unfortunately lost against West Virginia this weekend, 29-17. JD, initial thoughts on the game?
It's tough, man. It's so tough. It's tough. It's to lose back to back, especially coming off a tech win a couple weeks ago. Like, it's tough. It's a rough place to be in, especially in that locker room, just because, you know, if you don't have the leaders in there to keep the team spirit and keep the team morale and everything up and going, then things can go south in a hurry, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, I'm curious to be a fly on the wall in there and just hear the conversations, just to see, you know, what the energy is like, what the conversation is. But, you know, I mean, West Virginia has been a good team. You say what?
I said, I wish we could do that.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely plan a bug. No, I'm joking. I would not plan a bug. Guys, don't pay me no mind.
Don't come after him.
Please don't. But West Virginia is a pretty good team. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They know how to hold their weight. And if you let them win a ball game, they're going to win a ball game. There is no doubt about it. Like, you know, they're going to fight. They might not always have those five, six guys that are, like, super, super talented. But if you let them stay in the ball game, they will definitely prove that they can play some ball as they did on Saturday. So,
yeah, I was going to say they did.
Yeah, they definitely proved it.
I had a lot of faith going into this game. I really did, more so than in the past weeks. You know, I mean, just going in, West Virginia didn't have the greatest record. And I guess we don't either. But, you know, I thought that it was – we have been playing against teams pretty well, against teams who have better records than West Virginia. So I had a lot of faith going into this game, and starting off the game with the Darius Davis 100-yard kickoff return to a touchdown.
Yes, sir.
I had some serious faith, and then I don't know, it's some bad juju or something here at the Carter, but that just all went away.
Somebody did it.
Yeah.
Somebody
did it. I think it's me. Everyone says that I'm bad luck.
No, so I thought it was me. I definitely thought it was me. I was like, I can't watch the game today. I can't. When I don't watch, we win. And then when I start like watching, we start losing. I'm like,
did you watch Tech?
No, I did not watch Tech.
Oh my gosh.
We won. Easy.
But I didn't watch Tech either, so it could still be me.
Okay.
It's both of us.
Okay, we got to figure it out. We got to do something. Now that kickoff return was electric, though. I was like,
All right,
here we go. That's how you start the game off. But it got rough after that. It got pretty rough.
Well, I was excited for him too, because in the past weeks he's gotten a lot of heat for, you know, fumbling the ball a few times in the past few games. So I was really excited for Darius Davis to open a game that way, because, you know, he deserves it. I've had the opportunity to interview him one time, and he's a really great guy. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah, man. Shout out to D. Davis, man. I mean, like you said, hadn't had the most ideal year in this season, but to respond is what I respect and what I love about him. He finds a way to respond. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, it's not always common in football players these days, is guys' ability to respond. Some guys, you know, have these rough games or rough weeks and they just kind of shut down and shut out. But then you have guys like D. Davis who finds a way to respond, who finds a way to keep himself in the game and staying active and contributing. So yeah, man, shout out to D. Davis, man. Shout out to him.
No, I like that. For sure. And, you know, I say we always start off with the offense. Let's just go ahead and start off. What were our thoughts of TCU's offense this game? Because I have a few thoughts on it.
Okay.
Should I go ahead and start then?
Yeah, start it off. I'm a fan. I'm listening. Let's
okay.
Go.
Unpopular opinion, not at all. Zach Evans did not have the ball enough.
True.
I guess, okay, he did. He just didn't get the yards I guess if we're looking at numbers, he didn't get the
If you're
yards
looking
that
at
he
numbers.
normally does. I think this is his first game this season that he got under 100 yards.
I believe so. I'm about to fight. I'm fact checking, but I think you're correct on that one.
Which is just for our 5-star running back. He needs better than that. He needs more than that, you know? And I don't think it's his fault. I'm not saying it's his fault. I could see that West Virginia just had a pretty great rush defense, and they were on top of him at all times on this game. But yeah, I felt bad for the guy. You know, he's been such a star player this whole season, and I didn't really see many breakthroughs for him this Saturday.
No, he hadn't. He really couldn't get any breakthroughs. And that's tough because for a kid like that, a leader like that, a kid that embraces where he is, he understands his role and he does it, very, very well. I won't say perfect, and because no one is perfect, but he does it very well. I think that that week off last week, he was out with an injury against Oklahoma. I'm not sure if, the offensive line lost the mojo with him, if the offensive line, was tired, if they, couldn't really handle the defensive front of West Virginia. Not really sure what it was. But I mean, the offensive line has a lot to do with that, right? Have a lot to do with that. And I'm sure Coach Anderson, Jared Anderson is, he's fixing that this week and trying to figure out where we can get better in spots and everything. But like you said, he's been on fire the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, having over, 100 yards rushing. And so it was definitely weird to not see him have his breakout game like normal.
And you bring up the offensive line. Can we just talk about that for a second? Can we talk
Yes, let's go
about
for it.
their penalties this season?
Yes,
And
yes.
I actually had a huge question for you,
Okay.
because you were a wide receiver back here at your time at TCU. What is it like from a player's perspective? And I say this every time I watch football, when you have just this crazy play, have this great pass downfield, whatever it is, and an offensive lineman gets a penalty and brings it back. How does that feel for you as a player? Because as me, it's so frustrating. I'm like, you guys
Oh
just
my.
ruined your teammate's play. Like, what are you doing?
Yes. Man, I mean the initial reaction is, I mean, you're ticked off. Like if you watch closely on camera, there's not a lot of good words coming out of whoever had the ball's mouth. Like he's pretty ticked off. But at the same time, like it's not intentional, and that was just, a play where somebody in the offensive line had a mental lapse, or they, just kind of lost focus for a second, or it was a bad call, So it's kind of like a gray area because he could have done it intentionally, he could have done it without trying, and it could have been a bad call. So you're not really like in the moment, you're not really sure of which one of those it was. Like you're just ticked off because like this is a big play, or I scored. And it's got to come back. And then when you get to film, it's like, okay, I see what was going on. Like he was just tired. He didn't really run his feet, so he held the guy. Or he had one hand in his chest plate and the other hand on his back, the back of his jersey. It wasn't really holding necessarily, but they called it anyway. Or if it's just a bad call altogether, like the referee just threw a flag for something he didn't see. So, it's those different scenarios that you kind of go through and film, the next week. But no, in that moment, like you're fire red hot. It's like, man, I just changed the game, or I just took the momentum back and, we have a flag. So yeah,
You took it
it's
back from
tough. It's
me.
tough. Yes, bro. You took it right back from me.
No, but I had to ask you, 'cause like I said, every single time I watch football and I see something like that happen, I'm like, I would just be livid
Oh
if I were him right now.
yeah.
But
You lose it. You would definitely lose it. No
yeah.
doubt about
Oh no, 100%. Me, my little self out there on the field.
it.
But I I want to keep talking about the offense a little bit. We had Quentin Johnston out there with 113 yards on 5 receptions. But unfortunately, no touchdowns for him. We had a Tay Barber touchdown though, which was a really good pass. It was a really good connection between Duggan and Barber. And I kind of want to touch on Max Duggan a little bit. I think everyone went into this week with, I don't want to say on their high horse, but everyone went into this week with a lot of faith in him. And it's kind of funny. I even wrote in my notes at the end of the second quarter, my faith in Duggan has gone up a lot these past 2 weeks. And then the second half happened, which it happens. It's okay. It's football. Things happen. But coming off of his best, game last week ever in his collegiate career, and I think a lot of people had faith in him going into this game, and he showed it for the first two quarters. And I'm not quite sure what happened there in the last two quarters, but I guess we got to cut him some slack. He is working on a broken foot, so
Yes,
I
he is.
definitely couldn't do that. But besides the few picks that he threw, and I think he had some pretty good connections. He was 16 of 26, I believe, with 244 yards and one touchdown. So not terrible at all. I mean, it wasn't his best game, but it wasn't awful.
No, it wasn't awful at all. I mean, 60% on your throws is not bad. I mean, it's better than 50%. But I think, in certain moments of the game, we were 4 for 12 on third down, and we were 1 for 3 on fourth down. So in those moments, I don't think we capitalized like we should have. And I don't know if it's just a, I mean, obviously it's a lack of execution if you don't get the first down, but I don't know where the unbalanced, I guess, communication or thought process to whatever took place on those particular downs. And then the two interceptions, I mean, one was just a great play. One of the interceptions was just a great play, where the DB just made a great play on the ball. Like, I mean, you just couldn't do nothing about that. And then the second one, I think the ball kind of just laid up there a little too long, and the DB had a chance to just go snatch it out of the air and attack it. And then the Q Johnson fumble towards the end of the game was
Yeah,
another one. And
that
so
broke
I
my
think,
heart.
yeah, man, it hurt. That hurt because I was like, we're gonna drive it. We're gonna score. We're gonna be down six. We're gonna get the, you know what I mean? I'm going through all these scenarios in my head. But to have three turnovers against a good team like West Virginia is definitely detrimental. It's detrimental because they were able to score. You know what I mean? They were able to score on all three turnovers, whether it was a touchdown or a field goal. So we're talking 6, 9, 12 points off of turnovers. That's tough. That's
That's
tough to come back from. That's
huge.
two touchdowns that we would have had to score to kind of close that gap. But like I said, I mean, Max is playing on a broken foot. You can't really ask much more of him than what he's doing right now. And he's gonna continue to get better. He's only been playing since a freshman, right? So he's gonna get better. You know what I mean? And he's getting these reps and he's understanding kind of what's going on a little bit better. I just think, throughout these next couple of weeks, we got to find a way for him to get the ball out quicker. Either, leave some extra protection in the pocket when we're taking a shot down the field, or some way to make him comfortable putting the ball on the perimeter. Because that's one thing that I did notice about West Virginia's offense is that when they threw the ball down the field, it was caught. That, like, no questions about it. It was caught. And these were big gains that we're talking. In football terms, we call those explosive plays. Plays over 20 yards or more are called explosive plays. And so West Virginia had a lot of explosive plays on offense. So like I said, not taking anything away from our guys, but I do think that Max is getting better. The second half, not really sure what was going on. And I'm sure he'll see it in film where he could have done better. But like I said, I think at the end of the day, we got a quarterback that is getting better and he's progressing over time. So I think we're gonna be fine. I think so.
And my favorite thing about him, honestly, is that I don't know whether I want to call this leadership or not. I guess just like his ability to just never give up, no matter what happens to that kid. Like he is back out there bouncing back. doing his thing, and he leaves it all out there on the field, which I think is very respectable. Even if he doesn't have the best game, some people could just sit down and throw a fit about it, and he doesn't. He gets back up and he keeps going, which I think is very respectable, and it's something that you definitely want in a quarterback.
Most definitely.
Which is he's a huge leader of the team, so yeah, for sure. And there were a few instances in this game, and I think it kind of goes to that article, that we read about going for it on fourth down. What are
Yes,
your
most definitely.
what are some of your thoughts? There was one specifically for me. It was right before halftime, and it was where Griffin Kell's field goal brought us to a 17-20 game. And it was fourth and I can't even remember the number, but it was fourth and something very low. And we brought out our offense, and we were ready, and then a timeout changed it, and then all of a sudden we brought out our kicker. And it, obviously I don't know what the conversations were like, but me as a viewer, I'm just like, why didn't we go for that? What are your thoughts, and what do you think kind of happened there?
I do just kind of put a like a sticky note there. I do want to go to that article. I think it's some good stuff in there that we can talk about.
For sure.
But for the fourth down situation in particular, I watched a post game interview with Coach Patterson. He spoke a little bit about it. And I'm gonna just kind of paraphrase. It's on YouTube for anybody that's listening that wants to go watch it. But essentially what happened was, from my understanding, is that we sent the offense out on the field and we had them in the exact defense that we wanted them in. We had them. Like, had we just snapped the ball, run the play, probably would have got a first down, right? But if I'm not mistaken, I think West Virginia called the timeout because they knew that we had the right play. So they called a timeout. They made some adjustments, put some more guys in the game. And so instead of us taking that risk in that moment, it was, okay, let's take the three. All right. Because we don't want to turn the ball over on fourth down and then they go down and score and then get the ball back after half. So it's one of those situations to where if I'm already down before halftime and I'm not going to get the ball coming out of half, I have to score points. And so I'd much rather go into halftime down seven. So, no, down three, I'm sorry, 17-20, rather than go down and have 26-17 or 27-17, right? So it's just one of those culture moments where it's like, all right, let's take the three. Let's go into half down three. We'll kick it off to them after halftime. We'll get the ball back. Hopefully we stop them. We'll get the ball back. And now we have a chance to take the lead if we score. So it was a real strategic situation there in that particular one. The other two fourth down calls, I mean, you just gotta give it all you got. But in that particular moment before half, you really got to pay attention to what's going on in the game, like field position, opportunities for points and everything, because had we missed that field goal or we missed that fourth down conversion and they go down and score, now they're up two scores going in the half. And that would have just blew the game out of
Plus getting the ball back after the half,
plus
yeah.
getting the ball back. Exactly. So it was a strategic move
That's
by
really
Coach Patterson.
interesting.
Yeah, very strategic.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I know you've always said that, Coach P kind of knows the game better than most people that you know. So that's very interesting on his part.
Yeah, that takes some game awareness for sure. Like
Yeah.
it, yeah, because most coaches would kick that field goal before half. I mean, and then you got those who will take a risk and be like, hey, look, I believe in my defense. We're gonna try to go for this and convert it and get a first down. If we don't, then we'll stop them before half, whatever. But as we've seen over the course of the season, our defense hasn't done the greatest job stopping people, right? So it's like, all right, let's put a Band-Aid on this cut, before it gets out of hand. You know what I
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, while we're on the topic, let's just go ahead and talk about that article now.
Yeah, most definitely.
Tell me your
Wow,
sticky
okay.
notes,
Yeah,
JD.
my sticky notes. Let me go to my sticky notes. Okay, so Google has this weird thing of sending me TCU news. Or whatever. I guess it's just kind of geared to whatever.
I wonder why.
right, like the government is definitely watching me.
Yes.
But I came across this article on Monday, that was written and uploaded October 17th. And the author name is Matt Jennings. I don't know Matt. I don't know if Matt knows me. I don't know if he's listening. Maybe he will.
Hey, Matt.
But he wrote this. What's up, Matt? He wrote this interesting article what is this, medium.com? He wrote this interesting article about his perspective about TCU football and the program itself. And in that article, he dove into a lot of TCU history, recent and old, that had some very outright facts to it. And I won't, you know, I won't get into the article like that, you know, because I don't want to not trying to cause no smoke, as we say. I don't want no smoke. I don't want to start any, you know, bad conversations. But he spoke about a lot of things that were factual. And then he, you know, he had obviously had his opinions as well about certain things that Coach Patterson does. But it really caught me by surprise, because as a player, or as a former player, I'm reading this and I'm like, oh my God, this made sense. Okay, that made sense when that happened. Oh, I didn't even know about this incident. So like, for me, it was like, oh my God, like I just had my eyes open to stuff I didn't even know when I was there. And so I had a really different, like, kind of like spin on or perspective about what Matt said, as part of it being factual that you can't argue. And then the other part of it is, you know, it's opinionated. You can go back and forth, whatever you may choose to do. But yeah, if anybody's like, you know, interested in that article, it's on medium.com by Matt Jennings. It's pretty informational. I'll say that.
Yeah, no, I think it is. And I wonder, I believe we are able to attach a link to when we publish this. So
okay.
maybe we could even do that, just kind of publish it. But yeah, I read a lot of it and then skimmed the rest of it just because I didn't have time before this. But yeah, it was a lot of interesting things. And like you said, there were some factual things. And to be honest with you, I didn't really know they were that factual, just because from an outside perspective, all I know is rumors, and I don't really know what's factual or not. So it was very interesting to see. But
yeah,
no, it was a good read for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. I will speak on one thing, though. I will say this is that.
Yeah, do it.
In that article, we got to talk about it off air, but in the article, they talked about the explosive offense that TCU had in the 2014-2015 season. And then they compared it to TCU's offense today. And I agree with Matt in the sense that TCU offense with Sonny Cumbie and Doug Meacham, pretty much tag team in offense, those guys were unstoppable. It was one of the reasons why I transferred from LSU to TCU because of what I saw. Like, I never forget the bowl game where they beat the brakes off of Ole Miss. Whether Ole Miss was good or not, that's not really the matter at hand. TCU showed up that day and they played lights out. Or the historic Alamo Bowl win, or even just games throughout that season where TCU was just lighting up the scoreboard, lighting it up, lighting it up, lighting it up. And Matt talked about the conservative feel or attitude or philosophy that's been adopted since then. And I could definitely agree that may be holding back our offense a little bit, because, you know, we kind of do play a little bit more conservative a little bit. And we don't execute and get the ball downfield as much as we should. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of agree with Matt, you know what I mean? Especially being a former player. What you got?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, I think that definitely just ties into what we were just talking about the fourth downs, and not that specific one that we were just talking about, because obviously Coach P had good reason for that. But, you know, there are a lot of times that we don't go for the fourth down. And sometimes, you know, when you're down at the half, or you're down at the end, or you're down in the third quarter, or whatever, like, you know, sometimes you just want to push and see if you can do it, you know, see if you can get there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that could be a huge game changer for our team if we were able to just push a little bit more and you know, do some of those things that you wouldn't expect from TCU.
Yeah, most definitely. Catch people off guard. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, we know as fans, as well as other opposing teams who watch film, we know that Zach Evans is gonna get the ball. There is mm-hmm. no doubt about it. And we talk about it from week in and week out, just about the offense. And I mean, we can move on to defense after this, but yeah, we just got to find a way to be more creative and get more guys the ball. so that when Zach Evans does touch it, you know, it could be a 60-yard touchdown, you know, but whatever,
Well, and
whatever.
that's what I was saying, you know, and I feel like I always related to the Cowboys, but I'm a huge Cowboys fan. But you know, I mean, like I was saying, I always felt like Ezekiel Elliott got pretty, what's the word? Everyone just knew what he was going to do. And the Cowboys are so good this year because, to be honest with you, you don't really know what they're going to do. They could throw it to their tight end. They could, you know, throw it to Amari Cooper. They could throw it to CeeDee Lamb. They could, you know, throw it to Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott could grab it or run it. Like, they could have Pollard in. You never know.
Yeah.
And so it's just very, you just never know. And that was actually a question I was going to ask you earlier about how predictable I think our offense is. And, you know, I feel like 9 times out of 10, either it's going to go to Zach Ev it's either in Zach Evans' hands or it's going to be thrown to Quentin Johnston downfield. And, you know, we just have so many other guys on this offense. You know, we have Tay Barber and Darius Davis and even some of the younger guys. I mean, Quincy Brown was out there and
Yeah.
who's, you know, opposite of Quentin Johnston. And, you know, sometimes you just want to throw off the other defenses because I feel like we're just getting pretty predictable.
Yeah, most definitely. Like you took the word out of my mouth. Like we are definitely right now, we're a predictable offense. Like you said, it's either three guys are gonna touch the ball. It's either gonna be Max, Zach, or Q Brown. Like, I mean Q Johnson. Like it's gonna happen that way. And you become predictable. Like teams aren't just showing up to the stadium and just saying, all right, we're just gonna play defense. Like, no, they watch film, you know, they scheme against guys. Like other defenses do things to double cover Quentin Johnson, or they put more guys around the line of scrimmage to kind of maintain Zach and Max. But like you said, like we got so many other weapons on offense that we don't use as much as we should, right? And so to kind of go back to your comparison with the Cowboys, when you are unpredictable, meaning everybody's touching the ball and we're like finding creative ways for everybody to touch the ball, the defense has to play honest, is what we call it. They have to play honest defense, meaning they can't try any gimmicks. They can't try any weird blitzes or any weird coverages because you might catch them slipping, right? So you gotta. And I know Coach Meacham will do it. I mean that's my dude. Doug Meacham is my guy.
I love him.
He is he's an amazing guy for sure. And I'm sure he's gonna find a way to incorporate some of that electricity back into this offense some kind of way. But like you said, we got to find a way to not be so predictable and get other guys the ball. We just got to do it.
100%. 100%. And I guess I think that's a good way to end our offense talk. That was a pretty good ending to
Yeah,
it.
yeah, yeah. Laid pretty heavy on them. Yeah,
Yeah, but that's okay.
it's
Sometimes
all
you
good.
gotta.
Yeah, we love you guys. We love you guys.
All right, let's move on over to defense, which isn't going to be a very good talk as well after this game.
Nah. Good enough.
So, our secondary, I think we gotta start there. I just,
Yeah.
and I know all of our defense has some things to work on, and
For sure.
especially this past game, but our secondary was struggling this game, and there were just some times where, you know, our defense was hitting them hard, and then it was just free flying through the rest of it. I don't
Oh
know.
yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
They
I
had
agree.
some wide open opportunities to run down that field.
Yes. And it's tough, man. It really is tough because, you know, going back to that interview that Coach Patterson did, post-game interview, he talked about just how many young guys were on the field on Saturday. How, you know, some guys are still injured, some guys aren't quite themselves yet, you know, coming back from injury, and you got guys that never seen the field before. So he's figuring out, I think one thing he's trying to do right now is figure out who can do their job consistently so that we can leave them in the game,
That's
you
the
know?
biggest word, I feel like,
Yeah,
consistently.
consistently, you know? And when you got so many moving pieces and so many guys are being swapped in and swapped out, that's really, really hard for your defensive chemistry to kind of stick together because so many guys are on and off the field. So, yeah, man, they didn't have their best day on Saturday. They didn't have their best day.
Yeah, well, and going back to the, consistency thing, 'cause I think, there were some good times that we held West Virginia to a field goal this game, and even in
Oh yeah,
past
most definitely.
games. Yeah, like I think about the Texas game specifically. I feel like we held Texas to quite a bit of field goals that game too, but this game as well. And so, obviously at times we are doing something right. If we As much as I would like them to, hold them a little bit farther back in on the field so that they can't even get those 3 points, but a field goal, three's better than six or three's better than seven, whatever. So obviously we're doing something right, but again, with the consistency, it's like we have to consistently do that right. We have to consistently hold them to field goals, consistently hold them to nothing, to hold them to a punt, I guess,
Yeah, most definitely. And I mean, you got to give your hats off to that because, they could easily give up seven, right?
Yep,
So,
very true.
when they do hold for three or they, force a punt, those are great moments because that means that everybody did their job on all three downs. But you do have moments where you had the long quarterback run from inside their own 10. Like, thankfully, D Winters had enough speed to catch up to him. But I mean, that guy could have walked in for a 90-yard touchdown untouched. Like, so, you had plays like that. And then late in the game where Letty Brown was pretty much tackled in the backfield and then somehow spinned out of it, spinned out of like a tornado of people and got like another 25 like yards. Like, those are backbreakers right there for your defense. Like, gosh. So, but at the end of the day, like, they did hold them to a lot of field goals. And we just can't turn the ball over. We just can't do it. Can't let it happen.
No, absolutely. That was definitely one of the things that hurt us today, and I think it hasn't hurt us in every game, but there's been a few games where I feel like it's like only one just doesn't happen. It's like after one, there just has to be two and
Here
three.
comes another one.
There comes another one. But, it happens. It's just, and I think the biggest thing with TCU, and I've always said this, like, I feel like our offense, on paper has talent. Obviously they do. I mean, we have, five star Zach Evans, and like we were talking about earlier, I mean, Max Duggan on paper is not bad at all, and Quentin Johnston's great, and but I feel like it's just the little mistakes, and every single little one builds up and creates these big mistakes that are costing us games.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they do add up over the course of a game, like we talked about earlier, West Virginia had 12 points off of two turnovers, or three turnovers. So, those things add up and they do come back to bite you. And even the commentators are like, well, that may come back to hurt West Virginia, later because they're kicking all these field goals in the first half. And it's just like, well, if we keep giving them opportunities to kick a field goal, then they don't
They're
really have too much to worry about, necessarily. But at the same time, like you said, we can't give them those opportunities. We can blame it on youth. We can blame it on, certain guys, not touching it or getting injured. But at the end of the day, like you're put on the field for a reason and you're there to perform some kind of way, in some way, shape, form, or fashion. You won't always have the best game, but, somebody has to step up and say, hey, at the end of the day, I'm gonna give it all I got and let the chips fall where they may. So, we got more games to play. We got more games to play. Gotta get bowl eligible for sure.
You're such a great inspirational speaker. I feel like you ended on like the perfect note. But
Man.
I guess you're a coach though, right? So you kind of have to be.
It kind of rubs off on me a little bit, a little bit. YouTube channel coming soon. Inspirational channel. No, I'm just talking. I'm just talking.
Need to create an inspirational
There we
podcast.
go. That's it. We'll talk about that.
All
Yeah,
right.
we'll figure that one out. All right, cool.
All right. But I did want to talk about one more thing just really quickly. That it was the last field goal by West Virginia, and I just wanted to talk about we had 5:39 left on the clock. O'Shawn with the hops, man. He blocked that
Man,
field goal like it was nobody's business. Crazy.
that was huge. That was huge. I definitely thought that Somebody, I just felt like somebody's gonna pick it up and try to run. But I think, and I'm not even sure who picked it up, but I think just whoever that was maybe waited a little too late. Like, I think if we would have blocked it and picked it up from the jump, like, we probably could have scored, you know, as we've seen, like, in the Alabama Auburn game multiple times and other games like that where a blocked field goal goes for a touchdown. But, like, that was an amazing play by Auchan Mathis. Somebody who continues to show up every week. Somehow, some way, he finds a way to show up and show out. So shout out to Auchan, man.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to him. That was insane. I saw the slow-mo replay and man grew like 30 feet, I swear.
And midair too, just stretched.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's it for today. You will see us again in a few days. This Friday, tune in to get our TCU versus Kansas State preview.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we're gonna be heading up. It's our another away game. So yeah, tune in on Friday. As always, if you guys have any comments or questions, tag us on social media, on Twitter at the Believe Podcast Network. But for now, peace.
Peace.